Some of this nation's most dangerous convicts are housed in what are called supermax prisons. At Pelican Bay Prison in California, the men in the supermax are isolated in windowless cells for 22 or 23 hours a day, with almost no direct contact with other inmates or staff. Officials say most of them are members of prison gangs. Despite the isolation, gangs remain active at Pelican Bay. Once a prisoner is in a gang, it can be tough. It can also be dangerous to try to get out. Michael Montgomery of American Radio Works reports that at Pelican Bay, gang members have to choose between staying in lockdown or betraying their gang.
Pelican Bay's Supermax is called the Security Housing Unit, the SHU. It's a concrete and steel structure that looks like a giant bunker. Inside, four guards are searching cells of alleged gang members. The guards are in green jumpsuits and stamp-proof vests. They carry truncheons and huge mace canisters. The prisoners are locked nearby in holding cages. Guards tap the walls, looking for hidden weapons. They comb through a jumble of envelopes, mail, legal documents, and cardboard food containers. After about 20 minutes, one guard makes a find.
An address he was trying to conceal, and it was like this, right?
The guard pulls two addresses from the inside lid of a cup. He hands them to Robert Marquez, Pelican Bay's chief gang investigator.
What do you suspect those addresses are for?
They're drop addresses to conduct gang activity. And he didn't want us to find them. Well, now we know them, and we'll document them and monitor mail going to or from these addresses.
The prisoner is an alleged member of a white supremacist group called the Aryan Brotherhood. Marquez suspects the inmate is using these addresses to get messages to other gang members in prison and on the streets. It wasn't the only cell where they found something.
They're not just sitting around for 22 hours and watching TV. I mean, they're studying, they're reading, they're educating themselves, they're looking for ways to beat us.
But officials hope they can use the SHU to beat the gangs. At Pelican Bay, inmates accused of prison gang membership are held here for the duration of their sentence. To get out, an inmate has to prove to prison officials that he's left the gang. In theory, he can do that by severing all contact with the gang. But he has to do it for 6 years, and most gang members say that's impossible. The alternative is to take the quick way out. The inmate can agree to what's called debriefing. In debriefing, a prisoner has to divulge everything he knows about the gang and even agree to testify against other members. In other words, if he doesn't want to serve his whole term alone in a tiny cell, he has to become a snitch.
Stand by.
Several weeks after the cell searches, gang investigator Robert Marquez gives one inmate a choice: quit the gang and debrief, or remain in the SHU, cut off from almost all mail and visits.
He decided at that point that he really didn't want to be involved with the gang anymore, and he chose to sit down with us for an approximate 3.5 hour interview, during which time we were able to find out about the Aryan Brotherhood activities that they have going on in the security housing unit, activities they have going on in the main lines, and activities that they have going on in the streets.
The inmate had spent 12 years in the supermax, so why did he finally submit?
Without no name, somebody found my soft spot. You know, I mean, I have a soft spot. Everybody has a breaking point. They found it and used it to their advantage, and it worked.
The inmate, who asked that his name not be used because of possible retaliation, explains that his soft spot was his girlfriend, a woman he's seen only through a glass partition.
I'm not a lifer. I'm not sitting here forever. I'm going home, and I need a start when I go home. I don't want to walk out there and end up right back here. I step out there to nothing, I'm coming right back. It's that simple.
Inmates like this man, who buy into the debriefing program, are eventually transferred to another part of Pelican Bay that is a world away from the SHU. On this day, six men are playing basketball in a small gym. A guard with a high-powered rifle watches from a balcony, and the doors are locked. But the atmosphere is loose. Sweat pours over large tattoos stamped on the men's torsos. They are former rivals, blacks, whites, and Latinos. They're in a unit for former gang members now, segregated from the general population so they won't be assaulted or killed for betraying their gangs.
When they first take them handcuffs off, nobody knows what to do with their hands.
Manuel dropped out of a Latino gang and left the SHU last year.
So everybody automatically put them behind their back or put them to their side, because you don't want to make a quick movement, because you know everybody, even though we're all coming out of our cuffs for the first time, you're still on full alert.
When I entered the process, I broke down and I cried.
David is a dropout from a white gang who doesn't want his real name used for broadcast.
It was incredible to just walk out and not be handcuffed and be in a room full of people, or to come outside and walk around on a big yard and actually see things around you like trees and mountains. When I debriefed, I hadn't seen a tree for about 3.5 years.
Other men talk of not seeing the moon or stars for 20 years. Conditions here are dramatically different. Outside on a large exercise yard, a cool wind from the Pacific blows mist over the pines and redwoods surrounding Pelican Bay. Three inmates, one white and two Latinos, are warming in the faint sunshine.
Do you remember what you felt when you came out of the shoe for the first time out here?
Freedom.
You're your own man. You know what I mean? You're able to socialize who you want. Socialize with him. I feel like back in the day, you wouldn't see me and him standing next to each other.
Why?
We're from rival gangs.
The men go through a standard prison curriculum, classes on computers, victim awareness, parole survival, and anger management. Some inmates were in the SHU so long that this is the first time they've ever handled computers. Some men have never even seen a compact disc before.
I tell my son to go holler, man. I tell him to go with a punching bag.
Instructor Salvador Hernandez is leading 15 men through a class called Breaking Barriers. Today he's talking about ways to control anger.
Anger gives us energy, okay? It's a trip about anger. Anger helps us talk with others.
Several inmates nod in agreement, but one man shakes his head. He tells Hernandez that anger management won't stop prison violence.
Violence is an instrument of communication in prison. It's the way people interact and communicate with one another. It's not a product of anger. It's a value judgment.
Prison staff say the men here are disciplined and surprisingly well-read. During their countless hours locked down, the men were required by the gangs to study philosophy, military strategy, and even how-to books for corporate managers.
I mean, there are certain things in a gang, there's a lot of things in gangs, that is not bad.
Sherry Heiser is a Pelican Bay administrator who helped start the program for gang dropouts.
Respect, trust, discipline, education. Unfortunately, their very mission was in the wrong direction. It was wrong.
Men who have refused to debrief see it differently. They say the prison uses the SHU to try to force men to become informants. Raul Leon, an alleged member of a Latino prison gang, has been in the SHU for 15 years. Leon says debriefers are cowards.
They sit back and say, hey, you know what? We can't deal with this time no more. We gotta be out of here. We gotta be with our families and our friends, and you know, and they'll sell out their own mothers just to get the hell out of here. The traitors to us, it's always gonna be that way.
Dropouts are often at the top of gang hit lists. That danger is one reason some prisoner rights groups oppose the debriefing program. Charles Carbone, an attorney with California Prison Focus, a prisoner rights group, says debriefing is too high a price for prisoners to pay to get out of the supermax.
Well, the debriefing process puts inmates in harm's way, and it needlessly puts inmates in harm's way because it says to them, the only real way out of the gang is to snitch on your friends, to snitch on the people that are immediately around you, and people that have proven to be very violent and very capable of violent behavior. So it's a sure way for the prisoner to make a lot of enemies.
Carbone says California should copy states like Connecticut that allow gang members to drop out and leave the supermax without becoming informants. He says that would address another weakness in the Pelican Bay program. A large majority of gang members refuse to debrief and remain in the SHU without access to rehabilitation programs. But prison staff say they have to require inmates to debrief, otherwise some men might pretend to leave the gang in order to infiltrate the program. Pelican Bay Warden Rich Kirkland says the prison is only asking inmates to come clean.
We asked you, what have you done? What do you know of that's been done that's of a criminal nature? That's telling the truth. That's what we expect of our citizens. It's what we expect of peace officers. And when an inmate chooses to do that, I don't see anything wrong with that. And it's what we expect and what we actually want out of the inmates.
Former gang members like David, who provide information vital for criminal prosecutions, support the program. But they say California is failing high-profile defectors by not giving resources and protection after they parole.
You're providing information that puts your life in danger. And I just wish that there was a program set up that would assist people whose information is deemed valuable enough to get them killed.
By all accounts, David's information was invaluable. Connie McGuire is a correctional counselor who worked with David.
This is a guy that was getting out, and they wanted him to commit crimes on the outside, which he considered terrorist acts on innocent people, and he wasn't willing to go there. A lot of people will do it because they're in trouble and that's their only way out, but he didn't do it for that reason. He did it because he felt like they were forcing him to be a terrorist.
David declined to go into details about his case because of ongoing investigations.
Did you feel that what they were thinking about doing were acts of terrorism?
Yes. I mean, I felt like I always looked at the things we did in prison as, you know, you get what you got coming. If you do something wrong and you know you're wrong, and you got to pay for it, you got to pay for it. But involving people that aren't involved in the game and starting to target them, it's kind of it's outside of the boundaries that I pretty much had for myself.
After 14 weeks of classes and training, Pelican Bay recently graduated its 22nd class of gang defectors. The men are here for crimes ranging from robbery to murder. Most still have long sentences to serve. They now qualify for transfers out of Pelican Bay to other prisons with special facilities for dropouts. Instructor Dante Kuhn and Administrator Sherry Heiser watched the ceremony with a cluster of prison staff.
Since I've been here, I've seen that there is an internal search for meaning. There is a drive, and you can see it. They do change. You know, it's not, people get cynical and go, oh, nobody can change. They talk about sociopaths and all this stuff. These guys change. They do.
Sherry Heiser.
You know, I'm just glad that hopefully this program prevents more victims out in the streets, because the reality is that most men that go into prison are going to be getting out.
About a third of the 350 men who have passed through the program have been paroled. Most of them have not returned to prison. Officials say the recidivism is less than half the rate of regular prisoners. That's reason enough to use this approach elsewhere. They also say the program harnesses other factors for change that are often neglected in prisons: aging, disillusionment with a criminal lifestyle, and a desire to be closer to family.
Let me do it again.
David recently paroled and is now living with his family in a small house. He asked us not to say where they live. David says life outside Pelican Bay is not easy, but he's found a job and might enroll in college. David still misses a few friends from the gang, but he won't go back. In fact, he can't.
I've burned my bridges. There are no more bridges. I mean, when you take that step, you're done, period. There's no going back. And you better hope that nobody catches you, because if they do, then you're going to become another statistic.
Is that something you worry about?
Of course. I mean, it's not something that I'm going to let control my life, but yeah, of course I'm concerned, and of course I'm taking every precaution that I can to keep myself safe.
Men who turn their lives around in one of America's toughest prisons say change is possible, even for the so-called worst of the worst. But for every man who drops out of the gang, new recruits are waiting in the wings. Twice each week, prisoners arrive to Pelican Bay in a silver and green bus with darkened windows covered by iron bars. 12 men emerged in shackles from this recent busload. 3 men were suspected gang members. They were photographed and sent directly to the Supermax. For NPR News and American Radio Works, I'm Michael Montgomery.
American Radio Works is the documentary unit of American Public Media. You can find more on the Pelican Bay prison and hear a report on how gangs reach out from prison to commit crimes on the outside at our website, npr.org.